continue in the Gospel of Mark as we turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing children, little children, to him in order that he might touch them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
Pray with me. Holy and gracious God, thank you for this day, for this time, that we can come together to worship you, to be together with one another. Open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit as we share this time together. Amen. What a week. And it doesn't matter which side you're on, it was a week. In the text for today, there were two important issues drawn attention to. One was marriage, which we'll put aside for today. And the other one is who gets to come to Jesus. And in this case, it was the children. Now, on the surface, I suppose it makes sense that the disciples try to keep the children from Jesus. Perhaps he was tired, hungry, needed a rest. I imagine we've all put kids off at one time or another. Dad's tired. Mom has to do the dishes. Grandma doesn't feel well. Go outside and play. We've all said those things to kids. But it also makes sense that Jesus said to the disciples, "No, let the children come to me." Now, on the surface, this seems pretty straightforward. And I don't know about you, but for years, I thought of the children in the story as sweet, open, loving little kids. And if we could just be like them, we would be accepted by Jesus. But more modern scholarship, on the other hand, tells us a different story. In reality, in the ancient world, children were nothing. The least of the least. They held no standing in society. And yet, in our text, Jesus uses children as an illustration of how to receive the reign of God. A few verses earlier than this, Jesus urged his disciples to become servant to all and to receive even little children who had no standing in the world, as they would receive him. In our passage for today, parents are bringing their children to Jesus for a blessing. And although they had no status or power, I'm sure they were loved by their parents, and so their parents brought them to Jesus. But the disciples turned them away. And Jesus uses this as a teachable moment, because it seems like us, the disciples were always needing to be taught something. Douglas Hare contrasts the innocent openness of the little children with the striving of the adult disciples and religious leaders. The lowly children receive God's reign, unearned, a pure gift of God's grace. William Plocker claims that practices that drive away rather than welcome, that set limits to the grace of God rather than marvel at its superabundance, are not in accord with the practices of Jesus. To which we might say, duh, no kidding. Of course we don't want to drive people away. Of course we're aware of the grace of God, even if it's just in our heads. If we examine ourselves and our church from the perspective of the story of the children in today's text, what would we find? Would the grace of God, would the reign of God be accessible to all? Or would we set limits? You must believe this in order to be here. You must do this if you want to join us. Generally, when we talk about accessibility, we talk about no steps, elevators, wider corridors, considerations that help people navigate a physical space. But let's look at another type of accessibility. Or maybe, as Dr. Elton Richards says, approachability. Jesus lived without pretension. I don't know about you, but if you watched anything that happened on TV that had to do with news in the last week or two, there was a lot of pretension. There was a lot of us, them. There was a lot of I am right and you are wrong. Jesus didn't presume his position. His was a ministry of mutuality and vulnerability. He was fully present. And although he didn't use this language, he practiced mindfulness. When he was with somebody, he was truly with them. They felt at home with him. He was approachable. As he said in John 10, I know my own, and my own know me. Today, all over the world, followers of Jesus are sharing communion. This is World Communion Sunday. But during this past week or two, and way longer than that, there are metaphorical open wounds that exist on the metaphorical bodies of Christians, of people, and of Christians. There has been so much blaming, hurting, lashing out, and it doesn't seem to matter who we are. If we're a Christian, it doesn't matter what type of Christian we are because we're too busy battering each other. To be fair, all groups of Christians are not the same. Beliefs may be different. Christology may be different. Theology may be different. Christians do not have to believe the same way in order to be Christian. But if we don't believe the same way, then I'm probably going to think my way is the right way. And it may even get uglier than that, and it has, especially between certain groups of Christians. Depending on what group you're in, I may even shun you, call you names, make fun of you. And we progressives, or maybe I should just put myself in that category, I as a progressive do the same thing to others that I accuse others of doing to me. Accessibility, approachability. How many times have you heard folks say, I don't go to church because they're hypocrites there? Well, no kidding. Churches are full of hypocrites. I'm one of them. People who make bad decisions, don't like one another, treat each other badly, and so on. All the human foibles are in churches just as they are outside churches. But that isn't the point, is it? The point for me is that even in our brokenness, and we all are, we are called to seek wholeness. We may not get there, but that's a goal. How? I knew you'd want the answer. Well, one way that I thought of is by being accessible, by being approachable, vulnerable to each other and with each other. How can I, in my brokenness, be with you in your brokenness, is the question. How can following Jesus help me become more accessible, more approachable, more vulnerable, more fully present to one another? And that's grace. The grace is, even in our brokenness, we can be with one another. Even if I don't understand your language, I can stand with you. Even if I don't agree with you, I can shake your hand. Even if. What's the bottom line? I'm convinced that it's love. I mean, after you strip away all the layers of the gunk that we put on ourselves to cover ourselves from the fear of being seen, being judged worthy, all people really want, each and every one of us, is to be loved. We have to find a way in our churches today to be more accessible, more approachable, and more vulnerable. This week, a lot of women, famous people, stood and were counted as a survivor because they felt that that was important to say out loud. Well, I can say that I'm a survivor, and that's important for me to say out loud. Not because I want you to feel anything about that with me, but because that may make me more approachable to some of you. It may make me less approachable to some, but it may make me more approachable to some of you, more accessible. If my vulnerability can be here, so can yours. World Communion Sunday is about love. Love of God through Jesus. To the table. To us. To those we meet. And with whom we're willing to share. With whom we're willing to share. Church, especially in these days, people don't come to church anymore because it's the thing to do. In fact, it's the thing not to do. But church today needs to be a refuge for all of us, for those who may find their way here. Churches need to be accessible and approachable. Most don't come to church seeking information or lectures. And if they do, they can go and take a class somewhere. They're seeking affirmation. They're coming here to have you tell them God loves you. You're coming here to have one another tell you God loves you. You are lovable. We come here seeking redemption as broken people. We come here seeking, come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest. We are seeking refuge. So instead of beating each other up because we disagree, or because of beating each other up because we're hurt, share the hurt. Get rid of the hurt. Open ourselves. And I challenge us, on World Communion Sunday 2018, to allow ourselves in this room to be more hospitable, to allow ourselves to be even more approachable, to allow ourselves to be even more accessible by being even more vulnerable. And so, my friends, may we, through God's grace, become who God is calling us to be. May it be so.
Join your hearts with mine in prayer. We thank you, God, that you have gathered us with sisters and brothers around the world this day to share at your table, to be renewed and refreshed, to be forgiven and made whole. As we have been refreshed and nourished today, let us go out to refresh and nourish your world in such great need of love and hope and forgiveness. Amen.